Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is Sean Finnegan on my right, and Fran Mirabella on my left.
And your right.
And your right.
If you're watching.
That's why I said it like that.
It's good.
You can check out this show on Xbox One, PS4, iOS. There's notes over there on the wall that I have to read because usually Fran does this promotion.
Really?
Let's get into it. Today we're going to be talking about... We're going to be talking about Rise of Iron. We have been so busy with E3 and everything going on. We haven't actually got to discuss what we think of it. We're going to get to that in a second. We're also going to talk about special events, and they're back, thank goodness. And we're going to talk about the multiplayer debacle that happened beforehand and how much of an impact that had on the community. And finally, if there's time, we're going to talk about a hypothetical future for Destiny 1. Let's get into Rise of Iron, everybody. Fran, are you excited? Is this is this what you were hoping for your whole life?
Man, well, so
I'm
it's
really
been
excited.
Several,
I'm really energetic
several
today.
Weeks after the reveal now. So, you know, some of that has cooled off. You know, apologies. We've been so busy. Haven't even had a chance to sit down right as a group to talk about it. But it's kind of good because we got to ask some questions. Mm-hmm. We interviewed, you know, Deej twice. You know, we had Scott on the show as well for Fireteam Chat at E3 and got some clarification. I'm stalling while I make a decision here. No, I mean, look, it's $30 price point here in the U.S. I think that's really interesting that it's like very much this is DLC. Don't, you know, get your hopes up too much. It's not going to be huge necessarily.
PS4, could, XB1 only.
That's right. It's moved only to current gen, not old gen.
Which is
still,
great, in my opinion.
Yeah, although we have not
very
figured
bold.
Out what the benefits will be yet. Right, so they've kind of hinted. Yes, it lets us do some things.
More graphics.
Yeah,
tighter.
That's right.
Tighter graphics.
Tighter graphics. That's going to be on the box.
IGN.com.
But anyway, I'm excited about the lore. I like Lord Saladin. I've always liked Iron Banner, actually. So I'm curious to see, what they spin out of that. Which, who knows, is probably some weekly ritual that will come through. But in general, I like the lore. I like that the Plague Lands is this new place to visit with a new look. They did say they've tried really hard to keep it from being just, oh, it's just Earth and you've already been there a bunch and now this place is open. It's like actually infected and there's lava spewing out of certain areas, but it's a snow, you know, covered land. And, you know, we saw that with Fellwinter's Peak as well. It's like actually some height to that thing, even if I still think that's just going to be like the opening strike mission like we saw with Phobos. And then, you know, you probably will, you know, not see a lot of that. But I am getting off track. So I think it sounds great, but it's really, honestly, it's way too early to judge. I play Destiny a lot for the gear, right? You're always chasing your longbow synthesis or that special, you know, exotic gun that you want. Like Black Spindle was awesome. The mission was awesome. Until we know that, I think it's just way too early to judge. Mm-hmm. But in general, I'm excited. I mean, with all the time we've spent with it, how could I not be?
Yeah, all the zero time. We've seen some screenshots. We've seen a trailer. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm super hyped. I mean, I was actually surprised at how hyped I got just by viewing the trailer, like, mm-hmm. or even, you know, the day before the trailer came out officially, we had like that little, the screenshot leak mm-hmm. or whatever yeah. that like yeah. announced Xbox One, PS4 and stuff wolves. And speculated on a date. Yeah. And, you know, it was Lord Saladin with the yeah. wolves. Even just that screenshot of him with his flaming hammer axe. Is it a hammer? It's an axe. Yeah. Okay. In the screenshot, it was unclear. But, like, even that, I was like, it kind of sent shivers down my spine. I was like, ooh, that looks really cool. You know, mm-hmm. like, I'm just interested in that. Mm-hmm. I think that so many of the Destiny people out there who are hardcore into the game, like, there's, it's, like you said, it's all progression based, right? You're always looking for new things to do, and we really haven't had anything new to do in a while, right? And so just the fact that there is something on the horizon, and it's going to be new, and you haven't been able to do it before, and there will be new weapons, new quests, new lands to explore, new things to do. That's super exciting to me, and the thought of that makes me want to play Destiny now. And in fact, like, when that trailer popped, I was like, I'm going to go play Iron Banner or yeah. whatever was the multiplayer thing at that moment. Like, that was cool.
Yep.
Got it. My turn. All yeah. right. This is I the kind of content that Bungie needs to be doing. Stop putting stuff in the grimoire. Start bringing those stories into the game like you should have at launch. I mean, normally I like to be tentatively excited, but I feel like we're going to get a ton of more info about the Iron Lords. We know that we're going to be in the mausoleum setting and get to know more about that. We're going to go to Fellwinter's Peak. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out more about Lord Saladin, expanding on one of the characters that we know from the tower. Hopefully they don't mess it up. We're going to get cutscenes, cinematic cutscenes, so it's going to be like Taken King. This is the kind of stuff I want to see more from Destiny.
Yeah, we've talked about it on the show before, but like Taken King did this really, really well, right? And the price point suggests that it may be similar in terms of scope. Like Taken yeah. King was $40, right?
They've also said it's going to be a big piece of content.
Yeah, so if this is like if this is as big as Taken King or maybe slightly less, like $10 less, whatever that means, and you get, you know, let's call it 6 hours of questing, story-oriented gameplay, plus a whole bunch of new missions and a new, like, new dailies, new weapons, new quests to mm-hmm. do in this new area. Like, that'll be a lot of content, and that'll be, like, that'll be more than enough to get people re-engaged in this game. Because, like, I'm a hardcore fan, but I haven't been playing a lot lately.
It's weird to bring up the word nostalgia, but they're kind of playing on that by bringing us back to the first area that we ever went to in Destiny.
Yeah, and the Gjallarhorn.
Yeah, and the Gjallarhorn, nostalgic. You know? I don't know. Well, that is one thing.
Is that mic drop moment in the end of the trailer?
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. Yeah. Black mm-hmm. Gjallarhorn.
Yeah. It's really neat that they're going to actually make like the world covered in snow. They did that with the tower, with the Crimson Days event, and the Halloween one. I can't remember the top of my head.
Speaking of Gjallarhorn, though, real quick.
Well, they're doing it in the world now, is all I wanted to say. Yes, that was it, Fran. And I love that they're doing that in the world.
Pre-order bonus, though, right?
It's a pre-order bonus, so if you pre-order it, you get both versions, so it's just like a skin.
I hate that.
Yeah. If you want, it's true. If you want the Iron Gjallarhorn, right now, though.
No, you still have to unlock it.
You do the same
quest. Just like everybody else.
From what we can tell, you go, I think maybe that's the Fellwinter's Peak thing, you go.
What does pre-order bonus mean, then?
You get the Iron Gjallarhorn.
What's the bonus?
Just the black one. You won't get the black one and be cool, at least for a period of time.
You still get the weapon.
I'm assuming it drops as Gjallarhorn, and then either you have a skin option, or you go to the tower, and your other gun is also in the tower. Like, their delivery systems have been pretty consistent.
So the point, that's not the point I'm making, though. The point is that they're giving you a very valuable weapon as a pre-order bonus.
No,
you still have to do the mission. They're giving you a skin for it.
It is confusing, by the way. So, like, when they did the reveal, they're like, yo, there's going to be this weapon, this mission, and you're going to get Gjallarhorn, it's going to be back. And then later they were like, and so, if you pre-order, you can get your Iron Gjallarhorn. And it did become confusing for a second, and all they were really saying was, the mission's there, you'll get your Gjallarhorn. Everybody gets it, don't worry. But you can get the Iron Black one if you pre-order. And so, as always, we do see how long will that last. That might just be a temporary skin bonus, right? There might be a way to unlock that later. But, of course, there's that balance of, like, well, I pre-ordered. You know, if you take that away from me later, is it going to make me mad? We don't need to get into that now.
It really sucks for you, Sean. It's only coming to PS4, all the Gjallarhorn.
Yeah, right,
no, I'm just kidding. That's not happening this time. That's a joke because Sean hates that sort of stuff.
Yeah, console-exclusive stuff is... nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm as excited as you guys are for new content, but I feel like we're not tempering it with the how long this.
I'm not tempering this time, Fran. I'm tired of tempering. I want to be excited about Destiny again. I'm gonna be. Don't bring me down, man.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, but it's like I mean, all we did after Taken King was out is like, I'm done with the raid, and mm-hmm. I thought the challenges were going to be more. And like, I loved it. I loved all of that, and I really got into Trials after. You know, I was already playing it pre Taken King, but I really got into Trials every weekend.
Now, yeah. You love it
because I get carried.
You love it.
I love getting carried.
I need to get carried, by the way.
But no,
Destin on all platforms.
It's not. The winning, it's actually just that fierce competition of 3v3. But anyway, I played a ton as the point. But yeah, I kind of got tired of the raid after a while. We talked about what was going to happen with the new Prison of Elders. Mm-hmm. I think we were right. About 30 days after, we were like, whatever. You know,
you said longer.
No, I said
like a
days.
Week. And then people ate it up. It was like a week and people were max light.
Oh, yeah. That was for max light. But I'm saying how long we would engage with it. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is there needs to be enough content in Rise of Iron that's significant and spaced out in a way. It's part of me wants to believe that this is a $30 price point because they've smartly been able to section the mm-hmm. teams because there's a true, call it, April 2017 drop coming.
That's what I was going to say.
That will be an actual mid-year release. If it's that, now we're on to something.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is like, what, if any, do you think is the proximity for Rise of Iron versus Destiny 2 announcement?
What do you mean? Like,
oh, Destiny 2 is next year. Announcement, yeah, like, we're not going to get it at Gamescom.
E3, 2017.
Yeah, agreed.
So you think that in order to be worth it, Rise of Iron has to last 8 months?
No, they've said they're going to do the live updates similar to Crimson Days and Festival of the Lost. They're going to continue to support with those a little more frequently.
Cool, but I mean, that's stopgap content, you know?
Mm-hmm. So wait, yeah, that's a great question. It's exactly what I'm driving at. How long, based on Taken King,
does Rise of Iron
need to kind of have like legs, and what needs to happen?
Rise of Iron will give us a good, solid 2 months of play, and then the hardcore will continue after that.
So that's what happened last time, and like it actually
Taken King, man. There was so much content in Taken King. It's like I didn't finish some of that until a few months ago. You know, getting all this. Well, some of it was really crappy, like the sword quest where you got to go collect the minerals.
Didn't do it.
Don't do that again. Just delete those from your save file right now, Bungie.
But I would say Taken King maybe gave me like 6 months total of gameplay.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a lot.
Before you've maxed everything, really.
And I'm really happy that they're listening to us. We want those cinematic cutscenes. We want those story pieces. And I'm super excited about that, to like really enjoy the lore.
Oh, me too.
And think about this
product. I think that's what Destiny is. When Destiny is at its strongest, I think that's what it is, you know? And didn't we run an article a while ago about Activision's latest earning call, where a lot of the internal people were very adamant about providing Bungie with more support to get that content out there? Because they recognized that the player fan base was very rabid.
Yeah.
Wants more content all the time.
I was wondering how well Destiny is doing viewership wise on like Twitch. It's still like the number 10 game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's huge. People still watch Destiny content. Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the point,
they need the support, is my point.
Taken King really was only, it was about a couple months of, I think, good activity. But they had to remember when Festival of the Lost was hitting, which was Halloween. We were feeling like, I kind of need something. Mm-hmm. Are they going to drop? And it was a bunch of masks and stuff, and it didn't feel like enough. And then December came around, right?
Yeah.
And that's when SRL dropped, right? And so
people liked SRL.
I
don't know why. Well, we talked about it.
It's fun.
No, I don't know why they haven't brought it back.
Well, let's not go off on SRL yet.
Yeah.
So to finish the point, actually, you seem to be saying, you know what? You'd be happy if this drop was just like Taken King in terms of the amount,
roughly, of
content.
Taken King, I basically marathoned for two straight days, not getting a lot of sleep to get through that story content.
Right.
You know, now we can beat it very fast, like in a half a day or something like that.
So I'm trying to translate, though, your expectation of this, though. Are you going to be totally happy and you do expect this release to be pretty much just like Taken King, hopefully with a few more cutscenes?
They're going to give us a week to get our light up. They're going to drop that raid, and then we're all going to be figuring out the raid, doing the race to beat that, and then we're going to really dive into it and come up with strategies and refine until we, like, have the raid on lockdown. They could launch the raid with a challenge mode, actually, or week one is just the raid, week two is challenge mode.
How long,
so much that they know that they can implement with this DLC.
How long did it take you guys to get Taken King's raid on hard mode or even challenge mode, like, farmable?
Long time.
Yeah,
today I still have trouble with the final encounter sometimes.
Yeah, I would say, like, maybe...
I'm bad at games, though, so...
It took my group maybe, like, 2 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to remember
nail the challenges,
these things.
You mean?
To be able to get, like challenge mode, and I know challenge mode released later.
It depends
later,
on the crew you run with, right?
You're right, but I almost always run with the same six or eight people.
Yeah.
Rotating like in six man out or whatever, but like depending on who's available. But yeah, like it took, and we're pretty hardcore about it, and we're all pretty good players. And it took us a pretty big chunk of time to get the hard mode raid farmable, like to the point where we don't even talk about it anymore. We just kind of shoot the shit and play the game, and we can kill Oryx without any problem.
Yeah, but again, I'm just trying to get a clear answer of. Didn't with Taken King, we all kind of felt like right around Festival of the Lost, like the hardcore players, by the way.
That was like a month later.
Festival of the Lost was like,
I don't know, man. What is this?
No, Festival of the Lost was fun. You know, you collected all the masks. Yeah, I don't like how they implemented the DLC.
No,
it was
kind of
cute.
Is like, were you getting tired of Taken King? Or like, were you
tired, wanting more?
Yeah, did you desire more content a month after the Taken King dropped?
So, was that how quick it was?
See, that's what I can't remember.
So here's
was
roughly
really
what
that quick?
I'll walk you
September,
guys through.
Then October, yeah.
Here's what
it was Halloween.
Yeah,
it was about 2 months.
Came out mid-September.
Yeah.
We did the raid, the hard raid. I forget exactly when it came out, but it was like 2 or 3 weeks after, right? It wasn't too long, right, with challenge mode? Maybe it was a month. But anyway, somewhere in there, so we got our challenge mode, and we're cooking through that.
Well, challenge mode came out later than hard mode. Hard mode definitely came out
later. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hard mode came out and then challenge mode.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, there was that period of time. But leading up to Festival of the Lost, I definitely remember. I was like, I feel like I want more. I was already burning through a lot. Quest-wise, we had gotten the Black Spindle if you were lucky enough. But it didn't appear that often. In Sleeper Simulant, you could only get on, the 7th of the month. So if you wanted it, there were some quests out there that you could go do. But my point is, we did the raids. We pretty much burned through that. Banner came around. But it was, honestly, in November, a lot of people were like, I could use some more content. All I'm really getting at with this, it was kind of a leading question, is like, what we really want is what happened with Crota's End, I think. Maybe that's a little soon, like, but the expectation that they've set, like, granted, when Destiny first came out, it had all these issues that need to be smoothed out, but from September to December, you pretty much hit Christmas, and you're like, man, I need another raid. Mm-hmm. And we were all like, let's smash cut back to how we were talking in January of last year. And we were like, oh, they took away SRL and like, there's just not enough content. And so, look, I'm not trying to bring us down. I'm just sort of, I'm saying I hope there's enough content in Rise of Iron that, I'm not trying to bring us down, dude. I'm hoping there's enough content so going through the list, there's a new social space. There's Lord Saladin now is a new character that we've not heard a lot from.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned a lot from the raid, so I hope that they can really stretch us through, call it early January, with some good drops, bringing back whatever, SRL.
With the live events.
But like really good, significant events, Like SRL was a more significant event, even if you didn't like it. Festival of the Lost was a bunch of masks. And,
yeah, Festival of the Lost is nonsense, too.
And I would like that to lead up to right around April or May next year. We need a second drop, just like, or a big piece of Rise of Iron, let's call it. Because, like, if I got to wait a whole nother year, we're going to be right back where we are today, which is we don't have a lot to do until Rise of Iron comes out.
That's all I'm saying. Good point. For more Debbie Downer Destiny coverage, you can follow Fran at Fran Mirabella on Twitter. I am freaking pumped for this content. I'm going to stay pumped. What are our reviews of our excitement level? I'm going to say 9 out of 10.
You're 9 out of 10. Of course, yeah.
I'm super excited about this content, definitely. I just, that 1 out of 10 is just kind of like you bringing me down to a 9 out of 10.
I know. Well, they kept you in a dark basement for 7
months.
He's
right. Taken King did happen bad stuff.
You can see the door at the top of the stairs now, Destin. You can, go upstairs.
All right, where are you at, excitement level-wise?
Well, just in general excitement, I'm absolutely I'm, an 8 out of 10. And the reason I say that is
because you're worried about
– No, it's not Destiny 2. It's not a huge, massive release. I mean, you got to leave room to breathe. Sorry, I'm always the objective critic, let's call it. But I'm 8. I'm super excited. That's very high on the scale.
8 out of 10 on the internet, that's like a 0.
I didn't say 7.9. I could have said 7.9, but old joke.
That would have been a rough
Sean?
One. Sean.
10.
Yeah.
Very excited.
So what would you say if it was a full Destiny 2 release? You got to reinvent.
10. Why does it have to be? Can I be maximum level of excited for everything?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people who side with you.
Yeah. Anytime Destiny just says, you're getting new stuff. I'm like, yes, 10 out of 10 excited.
Yeah.
Whether or not I stay that excited over the course of the duration of, like, when I'm playing, that remains to be seen.
I was picturing all of the comments now. Like, F Fran, get him off the show. This guy sucks. I love this game. I play it all the time. I'm going to DestinyCon, by the way. Destiny
yeah, we're
is
both
as well.
Going.
We're, like, super nerdy about the whole thing. Yeah. Like, I love it.
Yeah, actually say honest. Hi to us. You see us there. Just come up, introduce yourself, say
yeah,
hi.
Please.
Yeah, I always love meeting
Isn't
people
that
like
Florida?
The show.
It is, man.
Yeah,
it's far away.
Man. Yeah.
It's when is it?
End of August. Yeah.
Hmm.
It'll be hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's going to be great.
So, anyway, we're excited about Rise of Iron.
We definitely
so
are.
Some of us more so than others.
That's true.
8 out of 10.
Which is fine. We're all excited, though.
So. Now it's my turn to be a Debbie Downer.
You're going to segue into something?
Yeah, we're going to segue, and I'm going to be a Debbie Downer.
Okay.
Destiny's multiplayer has not been great the last week. And that's been really sad for me because Iron Banner was canceled. Trials was almost canceled 2 weeks. They've gotten it fixed. Special events are back. Iron Banner is beginning June 28th, ends July 5th. So you got your long weekend to play some Iron Banner.
It actually works out nicely.
Yeah, Fran, you're going to hit up Trials. Yep. This seemed to have a pretty big impact on the community, though. People were really upset about this.
Well, it was that. And then
also,
it was
the
also,
Hunter.
Yeah, like
the Hunter.
They just you saw that they just nerfed Hunters. Like
yes.
out of like
yeah.
Trip
mines
gunslingers.
Don't stick anymore, and they're like, oh, Hunters were used too much in Crucible because of trip mines.
Well, trip mines are very good.
They're
definitely.
Crazy good. They really are.
Okay, not crazy good though.
They're
was anyone whining
Fran
about trip mines?
Like, Fran doesn't like shoulder charge. Next thing you know, they're gonna get. They're just gonna delete
okay.
shoulder charge.
So, but
no one was whining about trip mines.
Why don't you first start with
yeah.
how and why they
okay,
decided
so,
to do this?
So that's the thing. The why is. Totally obscure, like
no,
obscure
no.
To
they
me.
Actually covered it recently. They
no,
said it's
I'm talking
because
about
hunters
when...
were used more than any other class in the Crucible because they were the default.
All right, yeah, I'm just gonna say it since you guys aren't. They provided a KD ratio as the hunter classes for Gunslinger and Blade Dancer, and they are way higher on those two classes than any other.
And it was
so,
definitely
meaning,
because of trip
yeah,
mines.
Yeah, not because of trip mines, though.
Okay, but trip
yeah.
mines aside, so I don't know the trip mine data.
Mm-hmm.
They got freaking killed by them all the time. That's my data.
That's your fault.
And you get killed by shoulder charges
just
all
shut
the time.
Up. Be quiet for a second. But the point is, and I get why this pisses people off, because you're like, this is my favorite character. That's why I play them. But the data shows that those two classes perform better than all the other classes. Just those two. They didn't do anything to Night Stalker. They didn't do anything to
well,
Night Stalker.
That's because that class sucks.
Okay. It doesn't suck. It's more average.
Also,
but they're
because
trying
the OP thing about that class is an evade,
yeah, three shots.
Not a
yeah.
not something that would affect
yeah.
your
right.
killing
my
ability.
My point is, look at it this way. It's been a year and a half, and it's performed at a very high level. It's been very powerful
the
classes. The Hunter, Blade mm-hmm. Dancer, and Gunslinger.
Yeah.
They actually made Golden Gun more powerful, though, in this, by the way. And so I'd love you guys' commentary on what the specific change is, what bothers you.
They
so
didn't
the audience,
change
so
the
what,
stuff they should have. Blade Dancer needed to be changed. Gunslinger was fine. Trip Mines didn't need to be
hold
touched.
On. I just want to say I agree yeah. with using data to make that graph a little more even, that the classes are more competitive with each other. Because
mm-hmm.
the data says otherwise.
What did they do to Gunslinger? Or not Gunslinger, Blade Dancer.
I'd have to go through the exact. It's like how they changed a lot of stuff with the classes. Let's pull it up.
All right. We'll pull it up.
But,
Sean, your thoughts.
Yeah, so I don't know the specifics on the Blade Dancer change. That's one of the that's the subclass of Hunter I never play.
Yeah, I play
like,
a Warlock.
I don't think.
Well, that's the one where you get the most kills every time you pop your super, though, because you hit it and you regen health.
If you're pubbing, if you're in Crucible, if you're not no one uses Blade Dancer in Trials because the moment you hear everyone just run. Okay, maybe on PS4.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everyone runs away.
Yeah.
You hear it, and everyone on the mics goes, Blade Dancer, run, and everyone just scrambles, and that guy never gets any kills. If anyone has ever specced Blade Dancer, I laugh at them because I think they're
in trials
specifically.
I play with, click it, plays as that class all the time.
What do you got?
If you jump in.
Shoulder charge is still on there, by the way.
Yeah. If you jump in at the right place, Blade Dancer's still pretty deadly. But they changed, remember, the swipes, the distance of where it strikes. They actually improved that. That was, I think, even prior to this update. So
I'm sure.
Fran's bringing up the data. The point I was just trying to make is that people were really unhappy about the adjustment.
I am unhappy. I still am unhappy.
It also seems super strange to me that they messed with trip mines. I still don't really get why they
touched
that
one. Yeah, so that's, to Fran's point, let's say that the data does suggest that one class is consistently stronger than another. That's fine in order to balance that. But how how you balance that is just as important as recognizing that the data is skewed in one direction or the other. They nerfed trip mine, something that literally no one in the world was complaining about. Like,
I would have if you gave me a chance.
Of course. So what they did change to trip mines is overall damage is decreased and it doesn't stick anyone anymore. Now, I can kind of wrap my head around the idea that Bungie thought at some point, okay, listen, people are sticking each other with trip mines. They're supposed to be used as a trapping mechanism and not like an offensive ability. So let's take away the ability to stick.
A year
and
6 months later.
Damage, you have the choice to run a class that has high armor so that you don't get one shot by trip mines.
They brought down 3%, by the way.
Which is enough to make it not one-shottable with the extra armor boost.
That's sort of the point, though.
It doesn't stick to people, and it glows a giant red light.
That's the other thing.
So it doesn't function in the way they're intending.
If their mentality was, okay, well, we want you to use it more like a trap and less like an offensive ability, then why have this glowing thing that telegraphs it all the way to the... dreadnought.
To the wizards on the moon.
You're standing on the dreadnought, you could see that trip mine. If you die to a trip mine because you didn't know it was there, you deserve to die to the trip mine.
There's a wizard on the moon hanging out with Peter Dinklage.
It always
that can see that trip
mine.
That's
not what was changed. Anyway, by the way, I'm not saying that they got all the balance right, and I don't play as a hunter. And so I think everybody out there, like, I play as a warlock a ton. You play as a titan a bunch.
So all you're saying is Bungie got it all wrong.
You play hunter and titan. Yeah. You play what?
Everything.
You play everything.
Yeah.
So
I prefer hunter and titan.
Have you noticed something with the changes yet that you specifically hate?
Yeah. Everything. I get a lot so less trip mine kills.
So you're just not getting the trip mine kills. Okay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what they changed with that was, no longer attaches to targets. We've said that. It arms
really
on
weird.
Impact, then bounces, and then attaches to the terrain. And so it's not just in sticks. It does bounce, which is really an interesting, weird effect, by the way.
A weird
design
decision.
So it's harder
to
place than it already is.
So basically, if you want to place it on the wall, you got to bounce it off the ground and hit it on the wall.
I haven't played as that class, but that's what the indicates.
such terrible decisions.
I know they brought that down. But by the way, the swarm grenades, they were absolutely too powerful. They brought those down. They increased the arming radius by a half a meter.
Who's the one person who made this decision? Tweet at Destin Legary, and we're going to argue on Twitter.
Oh, well, it was what's-his-name from the Sandbox team. he's in the update.
He's going to get it.
Exactly. Why don't we actually read...
Hey, I don't appreciate your trip mine update.
Let's let Bungie defend itself. So here's what...
Oh, he was probably really nice and explained himself.
Actually, it really is just
typical.
It's what I went over before. So Grant McKay, who's the Sandbox designer, responded to this. He says, when one class becomes the default choice for anyone who wants to do well in the Crucible, we see that as a problem. We chose to bring the hunters down from their position of dominance because it is our hope that every variety of Guardian will have a fighting chance. We've seen the common suggestion that we could just add more power to the less successful classes. Our concern is that this would eventually make the game too lethal and chaotic overall. We want you to feel powerful when playing Destiny. At the same time, we want to make sure that you still have the time you need to react and make tactical decisions when you're engaged in combat. I think we heard some of these same things.
That's all nonsense.
It's not nonsense. The intention is right. I agree with it. Instead of just
understand his philosophy, Grant.
No, disagree.
He's kind of been doing
made
this
his
a long
point
time.
Well.
That's all. Like that's all PR speak for trying to balance a game around casuals.
He's
like,
not a PR dude. He's a sandbox designer, so you can't use that argument.
That's not true. People who just as well as I do that anyone who speaks publicly for any developer or publisher is PR training.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
The thing is, here's the like I hate this, right? When they nerf like in competitive games like StarCraft or Warcraft, you don't balance based on large sets of data because large sets of the data are created by people who suck at the game. Like you don't nerf trip mines because your noobs who keep getting killed by trip mines complain that they're overpowered, right? If the best people of the game are still like you take the top 10% of players look at
but
the
you
kill
know
distribution
that they did, by the way. You're making assumptions.
He
they
just
didn't
presented
say specifically how the data was
the
sliced.
Player class.
Okay, but that's we a assume really, that if they're balancing
the
that is a really good point though, Sean. They should have picked from like people at a certain level of play.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like you don't. I don't know. You do, if you want the game to be
like,
competitive,
if you're a
you
noob,
don't
you get
it
killed by
noobs.
Shoulder charges all the time.
Yeah, or you know grenades that telegraph their presence to you over a wide range of like.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Is like
not the case.
I shoot trip mines out of the air. Like at a higher level of play, you know how to deal with them. Oh, there's a trip mine. Bang,
shoot
it's
it.
Gone.
Yeah, like
or,
I'm always asking.
He has a trip mine. Like I know I'm going to get stuck with that, but every class has a grenade they can stick you with. You just adjust your playstyle to compensate.
It's mind-boggling to me that of the grenades that they decided to nerf trip mine before skip grenade. Skip grenade is so OP. Do you know how far those things follow you? Like, literally, I've run from one side of the map to the other, and they're still chasing me.
I agree with that, by the way. Like, those are so
there's going to be a new meta in grenade gameplay.
Which is fine. I'm all for the meta shifting and stuff, but the reason for it needs to be, at least to me, rational and logical, which is that no one was complaining that trip mines were overpowered, right? Why? Because you could spec to avoid getting one shot by them. Two, they already telegraphed their presence to you. And three, they're kind of difficult to place. And now they're even more difficult to place with this random bounce, which I can't wrap my head around why they would implement that at all. The point is, they seem to be making balanced choices to cater to groups of people who just want the game to be easier for them to play, which is bad for competition, for skill caps, bad for a high skill ceiling.
Grant, tweet at Shot by Finnegan and tell him why he's wrong. And then we can discuss on the next episode.
You're talking to a Halo player, which is like, I like the game, like a Halo player and a Counter-Strike player. Like any multiplayer person who jumps into Counter-Strike for the first time and tries to do what they do in other games gets wrecked because it has a really high skill ceiling and it's very difficult to master. That's what I want Destiny to be like. It should be hard to be really good at. And they're making design decisions based on not that, which I think is kind of dumb.
Fran, if you have any final point, we're going to wrap it up very soon. Yeah, and we're not going to get to our fun topic. We'll save it for another episode.
Yeah, I do just want to be clear, right, is that I'm not saying all the right choices were made. I'm actually, you know, since I don't really play that class, it's still on my list of to-dos. But you guys are hating it, but you haven't given it a ton of time yet, right?
Sure, I've given it a lot of time.
Whatever. You seem confused by the bounce and blah, blah, blah. Like, meaning there's all these little changes. I'm just saying that you got to get used to, that everybody does. You're right, there's new metas. Play trials this weekend, see how it goes.
I'll skip grenades.
My point is that, yes, maybe they made some terrible decisions. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying, respectfully, I understand. Looking at that data, it just annoys me to look at that data, where it's like, you know, I feel that. I killed so much with the Blade Dancing Gunslinger classes, and honestly, trip mines annoyed me. Again, I'm not saying they made the right choices, but I can see why. And so, like, they nerfed Firebolts, by the way, and I use that all the time. Yeah, good.
When?
But guess what? The data
recently?
Doesn't... Yeah. Okay,
that's good.
Wait, is Firebolt grenade the one that, like,
Firebolt's the one that sparks on you. So the distance that it hits you. So, yeah, I could go on.
The one that everybody specced for after that Warlock update. And then they're like, okay, yeah, well, that was a mistake. Yeah.
And they also changed the way of the burn. And so now it actually behaves more like, what's the one with Titan where when you light him up with the molten, what's it called? But when you hit him with
incineration grenade.
Yeah.
Incinerate.
No. It's when you do the
flame shield?
No.
What are you talking about?
I sound like an idiot now. You melee someone or whatever and
flame shield.
It lights them up. No, with a Titan. And it adds more damage after that when they're getting hit. Anyway, that's what they changed with the whole like class.
Stoke the
Forge? Warlocks.
It's not the one that refreshes.
I used to always use it on Golgoth. Anyway,
the Titan guy.
Long story short,
you punch him and they burn.
They've changed Warlocks.
Melting point.
That's what I'm talking about. So it behaves more like Melting Point, where after the damage is done, they incur more damage. But anyway, it's totally changed. I feel a difference, but I'm not like going off the rails if they've ruined the class.
They ruined the class. All I'm saying is that I don't appreciate making design decisions based on
without your approval.
Anti-competitiveness. If anything, they should be like, how do we make this more competitive, higher skill cap, as opposed to the other way around?
I'm sorry. I know we're short on time, but how would you have addressed that data, Sean?
Well, addressed it because, that's the thing is like,
you'll be happy.
No, because no one was complaining about it. Everyone was happy.
Fine. I was one of them.
Like,
bothered me.
My thing is like,
Trip Mines, Blade Dancers, Golden Gun, whatever. That bothers me.
And shoulder charges bother you.
Yeah, they do bother
me. And so do the Warlocks, like, Orb of Death bother you.
I know. I'm just illustrating a point that they were getting more kills. How would you address that since it does say they are outbalanced? What would you do instead?
Get more skill.
Oh, I see. You'd tell.
Yeah,
that doesn't make
sense. Get better at the game.
That's like literally, you got a game, whatever. Let's say it's a platform game, and you look at the design, and you have like 7 characters, and there's 2 characters that always die more than the others in this platform game. They jump, they float, they behave differently. And you look at the data, and you say, you know what? Too bad if you love those characters, and you probably just have to get better. That's not what the data is saying. It's actually saying those characters might need some changes.
But we don't know what the data is saying, to use your point against me, is that we don't know what the data set actually says.
I don't know if it was the trip mine. I don't know what it was, but those 2 classes are over-indexing is all I'm saying. And so unless you have a solution, Let's ride and see what happens.
We got to wrap it up, guys. So final point. Final point.
This is a good discussion.
All right. Well, this episode has been dedicated to Grant, who no longer listens to the show. Thank you so much. Guys, thank you for joining me. One thing I have to say about Rise of Iron, it has definitely invigorated our excitement for Destiny yet again, and you can see it in the community also. So I'm always happy for new news.
We've got a carrot on a stick now.
Yeah.
There was nothing at the end for a while, so no. I'm super excited.
3% increase to movement speed.
You know, yes. I would also mention, like,
that's a World of
bring
Warcraft
up
joke.
The other classes. Don't bring down the one class.
Yeah, we
there
also.
You go. That's how I'd fix it.
Yeah, all right, get off that.
they addressed that in his statement. We've
moving
heard that
on.
Argument.
We don't know exactly when the next big things are coming, but given that there's not, you know, that many months left, hopefully the coming weekly updates will be good. We know Bungie Day is coming up. We do know that on Fireteam Chat they talked about, you know, the moments of triumph. They were going to announce exactly how it works. It actually showed up in a tab, it looked like. So it's coming, but you're going to get your emblem and moments of triumph they're going to talk about. But I can't wait to see more gameplay. I'm just curious.
We will. Soon.
Soon? Yeah. Maybe
that's all they said. That's all they told us.
Oh, he said soon. Or they said soon. But I want to see actual like gameplay from the Plaguelands. Like, I'm dying to see it. I hope it doesn't take until Gamescom or August to see it. But
We sort of saw it in the trailer.
But I mean, like, significant
gameplay. I know what you mean, yeah.
Not pre-cut camera angles and stuff. Right. So,
Fran, anything you want to plug before we go?
No.
We had that plug? All right. Well, until next time, Guardians out. Do you want to do it again? Come on.
Wait, what?
We can do better than that.
That's because your segue is like...
I don't know how to...
Here's how do I
alert you? Sean, Fran,
all right. Yes.
We're going to do the outro now.
Let me do this one. That's the end of our show this week. Thank you, everybody. And guys, are you ready for the big finish as always? Let's do it. All right, until next time...
Guardians out!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.